Hey, everybody. Connor Lestoka here. Welcome to a Patreon Meet the Authors segment. A special holiday Meet the Authors, I guess. Christmas Meet the Authors. Bob Fingerman is joining me today. Bob, Christmas Meet the Authors, holiday, which what is everything? New Year's?
I think we should be all inclusive of the holiday, seasonal holiday.
Yeah, sure. Where we're going with this, from what I've gathered by your illustration, is tied into, I guess it has no real real origin in a holiday, unless it's the wrong holiday. I see the Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny poster on the wall behind you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, you know, a classic is a word that's really losing its currency.
sure, yeah. During the greeting of Ready Player Two, absolutely.
I think it is a classic of sorts, and so you know, some people just watch Christmas Story over and over again this time of year. I'll put on Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny on a loop. You know, it just becomes sort of a festive or festering video wallpaper.
I think the latter.
Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking about it a lot. And, you know, again, this is the thing that always leads us to our authors, are these little sort of stream of consciousness rabbit holes of just poking around on the internet. And I got curious about Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
We've all been very curious. I mean, when we first discovered it was just like, what happened? Who was involved? Where did it happen? And so what did you discover?
Well, there are not a lot of details, but I was thinking, I was particularly intrigued by all of those kids. You know, sometimes you wish every movie ended like Animal House with the little on-screen, what became of so-and-so. And there were no... that all of my leads were very cold, but one of them, turns out, has become a prolific author. And all right. I thought, well, great. That's the guy. That's the guy that we need to talk to. And, yeah, so that's today's guest.
Is Beauregard Bonnie Valorite? Volante? Beauregard Bonnie Valorite. Am I saying that right? Beauregard.
Yes, hello.
Oh, it's great to have you.
Oh, Connor and Bob. Of course, of course.
Oh, classic Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny quote there.
Yes, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Everybody's excited. Right. It's Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny, of course.
And so am I getting this right? Was Bob set it up correctly? You were in the movie, Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny?
I would like to think, I tell people when I go to the conventions, that I was the star of the movie, which of course I was not. It was either Santa or the Ice Cream Bunny, depending upon how you look at the film. I look at it as a absolutely delightful romp through a wet theme park. Others look at it different ways. However you look at it, it's a romp.
Right. It's one of those movies where it's like, you know, a cast of stars, I would say. You have, you know.
It's like Diner. It's like The Big Chill, where everyone went on to do something that everyone remembers.
Sure. That's how I think Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny could be described. Rebel the Doll.
Well,
what
okay.
Is he
well,
up
no,
to?
Let's run him down. Sure. Santa.
Well, he's still big. Yeah. He's still working steadily. Yeah.
Ice Cream Bunny.
Don't hear as much about him.
He's still working?
Is he?
He is.
Doing like regional acting or community theater?
Sometimes I'm next to him at a stall at a convention.
Oh, he's hitting the con circuit.
I want to know about these conventions.
Right. Yeah.
Have I not seen you at one of these conventions?
Bob, you do attend Comic-Con, right? You go and you sign articles.
I have three signatures on my wall from Bob Fingerman. I'm pretty sure. Wow. I think we go to the same convention.
Is that Fyngerman? Man, there could be an imposter out there, Bob.
No, it's Bob. But
are they sci-fi conventions or what? I mean, I don't understand where the Ice Cream Bunny
really
fits into
the... I will go to any convention.
Cat Fancier convention or Needlepoint.
I tend to go to more of like dog-based conventions because of the dog in the movie.
There was a dog. Rebel, yes, exactly. Okay, yes. So you go to dog conventions. I assume you're a invited guest of these conventions.
Why do you assume that?
Well, it's sort of how it usually works. You register.
No. I sneak into those.
Oh, so you sneak into dog conventions.
Yes.
And then you sign autographs. And often the ice cream bunny is at these conventions next to you, which I have to imagine makes the dog just as nervous as the dog in the ice cream bunny movie.
You've seen the movie.
Oh,
Do you know it?
I remember the day I saw it for the first time.
Describe it in detail.
Me and my friends and coworkers, Mike, who can't be here today, he was so upset to miss it. And Sean,
where is he?
He is, he might be at the dog track or something. He didn't return my calls.
Can you call him?
I could call him, but when he's losing,
you know what? It's not important. Go on with your story.
Sure. When he's losing, he doesn't like to pick up the phone, and
he's probably
hitting the bottle or something. But anyway, so yeah, we were in this tiny room at this office that we shared with another company, and they did not care for us at that company, so they put us in this hot room with these running computers. And so we were in there just like sweating, and someone came in and was like, "We got a box of movies. I really don't think you're going to use anything from here, but like if you want to, like these were left on our doorstep." And one of them was Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny, and we put it in, and it was just sort of like jaws hit the floor. It was January, so we had to wait until December to release it on our website, but it was just pandemonium. It was so exciting. 10 years to the day yesterday is when we released our riff tracks of it, actually.
Oh, fantastic. So when you were in that room.
Yes.
With the heat, the heat.
The heat from the computers. It was just like
you're sweating. You're shirtless. Everyone's dripping with sweat. You're shirtless, possibly pantsless. The best thing that ever happened to you is Santa and the ice cream bunny was gifted to you.
Yeah, but I should emphasize, you know, we didn't have to see the ice cream bunny. We didn't have to, like, ride on the car with it as a four-year-old. That might have been a bit of a different experience, I would gather. But
it was a very different experience. It was transcendent. But your experience, I'm casting my mind into the room.
Can you see my mind? Yeah, I do see it. And I'm pantsless in your mind. So I'm slightly off-put by that.
Possibly shirtless. But you have, like, some sort of athletic spandex around everything, so there's nothing untoward.
To reiterate, we were at work during this.
Okay, all right. But anyway, you see Santa, you see the ice cream bunny, they're on the beach, mm-hmm. and you are transported to a magical place, and your life is better. Your life is better, right? If you looked at your life from before when you saw Santa and the ice cream bunny.
Yeah.
Okay, picture that.
I am.
It was a dark place. There are leaves blowing past. You have no love in your life. You're a hopeless wreck. You're a husk.
I believe I might have been just married at that point.
But your wife, your marriage is loveless. There's no sex.
For the sake
Let's
of
face it,
we'll play, yeah.
It's just awful.
It was
all. But then you see Santa and the ice cream bunny, and you're like, "Hello, life,
yes.
love, yeah. happiness, balloons, and dirt and puddles."
Sure, we spent a little extra on sushi that day when we went out for lunch.
Yes, see? Yeah. This is the joy that this spreads, and I'm so happy to have been a part of it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing great. In addition to sneaking into dog conventions, how are you spending your time?
Is that not enough?
It's enough for a lot of people, I think. But I mean, I think of a man of your stature who's lived the life of joy that the ice cream bunny has bought you, I think you might just have a little more to say to the world, at least mine.
It is true. I do. I have written a series of books.
Oh, well, that is a good thing, because that's sort of the whole conceit of what we're doing here.
Oh, is that what? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, Bob Sketches.
I thought this was a fan. Is this a fan thing? Are there other people on the line? Should I get online? Do I go to Discord? How do I do this?
No, please do not go to Discord. I do not understand how it works. No, we're just talking to you today. Maybe we'll find other people from the cast. Maybe we'll find the guy who was in the ice cream bunny suit, by the way.
We'll talk later. Let's save that for a little secret for the end.
Okay, sure. Is he the same guy in the suit, though, that still's coming to these conventions?
That it's, you know what? I've never pulled off the
you,
hat.
So you don't know. A guy shows up to the dog conventions, you sneak into wearing an ice cream bunny suit, and you do not, he's never spoken to you.
I speak to him. He does not speak to me, which I think is odd.
It is odd.
Because I'll say, remember as we went through the, remember, and then you knocked me off the fire truck.
Yeah, he nearly
fell into a puddle.
Nearly hit the dog with the fire truck.
Yeah, I broke the dog's leg. That's another story, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Sure. I'm just curious. When fans come to these conventions and they take a picture of you and the ice cream bunny,
They don't unless they have $50.
Oh, sure. That's reasonable. But when you see the developed photo, does the ice cream bunny, does he show up in the pictures? I'm just curious.
Oh, now that you mention it.
Okay, sure. All right. Well, yeah, we'll put a pin in that. But about to talk about your is it your side project or is this your main gig that your books are?
Well, I'm mostly what I do is I kick around on the beach and literally kick through the beach looking for wallets.
Impressive looking legs in Bob's picture. I would say. Yeah.
I think that like digging through the sand for other people's wallets is what gives me the kind of strength in my legs that I do, and that is what I do.
Is that why you eschew a metal detector?
I do not use a metal detector. I use only my feet.
Right. Is that because you want to develop your legs, or can you just is not really well, on the, it's a bit, on the it's table a, price wise? Is it?
Yeah, no, it's a schism in the community. Some use
the
metal detectors.
Community. Yep.
I am a foot based. Yes, you should only use your feet. Besides, a wallet may not have any metal objects in it, so you just
very true.
You kick through the sand and you find the wallets of gentlemen or ladies. Mm-hmm. Anyone can have a wallet.
So that's your primary gig, is kicking through the sand in the lower tier of the detectoring community, and but the books are then a side hustle from that?
A lower tier, your term, not mine. I don't want to disparage it.
I see weird old guys with metal detectors than I do weird old guys kicking through the sand looking for wallets when I'm at the beach.
I consider myself young, sir.
The books is what I was trying to sort of drill down on.
Sure, yes, yes. I write a series of books.
Yeah.
They're based on Santa.
Santa, yes. He made quite a mark.
He did. You know Santa, right?
Sure. I'm looking forward to hopefully he makes an appearance in a couple nights.
Bob, do you know Santa?
Oh, very well. Yes, very, very well.
Have you ever met one at a mall or what have you?
Indeed, I have.
How many of them have been interesting to you? I find that they're very uninteresting people, Santas.
Yeah, very few, very few.
Sure.
Yeah, they tend to just like, ho, ho, ho. You know, they don't really... Mm-hmm. You can't really engage them. Like when you put, you know, you do that insincere handshake where you grasp their elbow and you say like, what's going on with you, Santa? How's it going, man? And they'll just go like, ho, ho, why don't you have a seat and tell me about it? It's like, this is not a very interesting person.
Well, I think they're sort of, you know, trying to, they've got a show to put on, a character that they're not trying to break. They probably don't want to, you know, they don't have an opinion about where you should go to get your muffler repaired or whatever.
I wasn't asking that. It's just like, how you doing, man?
Yeah, but I think when you show up in your with your weird bulbous legs and you grab their elbow, Santa might be sort of
legs are bulbously weird now.
What
podcast is this? Is this the make fun of some guy who sits in a chair legs podcast?
I assume that all of Bob's drawings are photorealistic, and so
Bob spent many years measuring my legs. This is years.
Yes.
And they are exactly correct.
I use only the best calf calipers and...
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
They look like Popeye's arms.
You find
arms.
Them bulbous.
They look... Yeah, they just sort of look like there were muscles on top of muscles. It's a good
they
thing.
They are strong from kicking through the sand.
The sand,
do
I
you
understand.
Not kick through the sand?
It's not... I don't go out looking for wallets. I'm fortunate enough that I have a job that I can do from my home.
Well, la-dee-da.
Well,
I'm now kicking my muscular legs from side to side in a mocking gesture.
Well, that must be very interesting to see. What would you consider not la-dee-da from your stature as a guy who kicks wallets in the sand? I mean, like a guy who pumps gas, is that la-dee-da?
That is pretty fancy.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Are you one of those?
No, I don't know. I don't think I would enjoy that. Plus, New Jersey changed that law. They're all out of work now. Back to the books.
Yes, thank you.
I have never met an interesting Santa. I will give you that.
Thank you.
But
yes.
So my
Santas are interesting.
Okay. That is hopefully what an author would opt to do rather than write about mall Santas who just do the routine day in and day out. What are your Santas doing?
So normally a Santa, right? He shows up. He says, and I'm talking about the Santas that you and I would see, the real Santa,
sure.
The Santa that I knew as a child.
The one from the Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
The one with the sweaty behind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one who probably at some point had crapped his drawers was the real Santa. The one that you and I know as the mythical being, the elf who delivers toys to the planet. That was the real one.
So that of all the movies, all the popular culture depictions, the real Santa made an appearance for Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
That was correct.
He deigned where he should spend his time.
Yes, yes. I think history will judge, was that the right choice?
Sure. But that implies, I mean, you know, is it then the real Ice Cream Bunny?
Well, of course it's the real.
Sure.
What's the fake one?
That's right.
He's not showing up at malls.
Exactly. You know, just dog conventions.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so this is the model for then these protagonists in the book that you're writing.
That is correct, yes. I feel like Santa has never been depicted, like in this one, he was a man of action.
Hmm.
He sat on a beach.
He did.
He waited for animals to show up and kids. To rescue him.
He did. I do not recall that he actually stepped down from his sleigh throughout the course of the movie.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But in my books, he's much more a man of action.
Okay.
He gets out of his sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
He puts bullets in a gun.
Oh, dear.
And he shoots people in the face.
And people who deserve it?
Like, no, anyone.
Oh. Anyone!
Well, I mean, mostly spies or whatever, you know, like a spy or a person who, I mean, they deserve it in the sense that I'm writing them to deserve it.
He doesn't use the naughty, nice standard
thing he's famous for. Yeah.
No, it's sort of like the Terminator, you know, with a kid, Terminator 2, and the kid goes like, don't shoot anyone. And he goes, I will promise not to shoot anyone. And then he like shoots people in the knee where they all need leg replacements and the rest of their lives are hell.
Sure.
This is my Santa.
You watched Terminator 2 and you were concerned about like the extras who he.
Well, no, there was many, many policemen that were just doing their duty and then he would come and shoot them in the leg and go like, I kept the promise where I didn't kill anyone. But he doesn't really know whether they bled to death because their knees were shot.
Yeah.
But
my main takeaway from Terminator 2 is that like you, not a lot of quotable lines, you know, there weren't any like really like punchy impact lines that made a huge impact on pop culture.
Well, so
I understand your confusion here.
If you listen closely in the background, you'll hear all those police at the bottom of that building going, oh, my knee.
Oh, sure.
So there's a lot of that. That's pretty quotable.
Does the boy who was in that movie, Edward Furlong, he seems like he might be showing up at some dog conventions these days. Is he ever?
I see him a lot at dog conventions. Okay, that's good to hear.
I'm glad he's doing well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So Santa's, is he a spy himself in your books?
He is.
Okay. So it's a perfect cover, really.
Yes. Who suspects Santa?
Of shooting people
like
in
when
the face.
What is it? Silent Night, Deadly Night, right?
Sure. Is that where Garbage Day comes from?
I don't know. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Yes.
Sorry. Okay.
Back to you. I've only seen the first one, which is classic.
It's a classic. That's the one.
Which is weird because I've only seen the second Terminator, so I should probably fill in my gaps.
So and your catchphrase gaps as well, because I. anyway, Santa's a spy.
Oh, I got shot in the knee. That doesn't make you laugh.
I think I might have had a T-shirt of Terminator 2 that said that on it, but it came from like a family trip to El Salvador. They were selling it on the beach. So it might have been a mistranslation.
I've been there. I've done autographs there.
Oh, it's down on my list to revisit, but maybe once the travel restrictions are lifted. What is one of the these books' names?
Well, I'll
walk
tell
us
you,
through one.
I'll walk you through two of them.
Okay.
Mary Techmas.
Ooh.
The Santathon Conundrum.
Okay.
That's one.
Mary Techmas : the Santathon Conundrum.
Not Tex-Mex. It's not in Tex. It's not a Texarkana, or it's not, you know, Tex-Mex. It's Tech-Mex.
Thank you, Bill Ricard.
It's a technological Christmas.
Well, I understand that now. I thought it was like Tech War, like William Shatner's Tech War.
It is, but you said Tex.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. I do not get those pointed out enough on this podcast.
Did you just return from the beach where you were having...
Don't turn that around on me. The guy who hosts this with me is at the dog track, is what I was saying earlier. Ice Station Blitzen. That sounds intriguing.
Digital Snow Fortress.
Well, I'm less excited about that one.
Why? What?
Well, there's another book with a very similar title that we've reviewed on our podcast, and it was not good.
Santa.
Oh. Well.
Secret Alliance Northmost Toy Assembly.
That's an acronym. Okay. I get it.
It's right up there with Rotor.
Yeah.
Rotor, returnable object towards our remonstration.
Is that one of your books?
No, sorry. I'm just a fan.
Oh God.
Okay. I go to those I go to Rotor conventions too.
Oh yeah.
They happen much less often than the dog conventions.
That's the Rotors are usually not as popular as I believe dogs would be on the in the grand scheme of things. Dogs have a bit better PR.
What's your favorite dog?
I like corgis. They're my favorite dog.
Okay. And how many do you have?
I don't own any of them. I just like I like the way they look, and I've met a couple ones that I follow on Instagram.
Bob, now when you were calipering my thighs for many, many months on end and doing 3D scans of my my lower area and my upper area and my face.
Pants and shirtless, I assume.
Everything was shirtless. You have dogs.
I do. Yes, I do.
What's the best dog?
Oh, the best dog? Well, I'd have to say mine, but I don't know if I have two Chihuahuas, but I can hear the air just leaving the room.
That's a good dog. Oh, good dog. Is your dog here? Can I call your dog a good dog?
Oh, of course.
Good dog. You're so good. Look at my thighs. Look at how plump and round they are.
Oh, she's licking her lips looking at those thighs and calves.
See? See? Yes.
Was Rebel the dog in the movie a good dog?
Rebel was a troublesome dog.
With Rebel a name like did, that.
I had three brothers. Rebel killed them all.
This revelation is 22 minutes into this appearance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what we were leading towards?
Well, no. We were supposed to be talking about your books, but your three brothers were mauled by a dog on the set of the movie that you are...
Well, three brothers, but there were two sisters as well.
Also killed?
Yeah, effectively killed, died later, but yes.
This lends a whole new dimension to your sneaking into these conventions.
It wasn't on purpose.
Well, yeah, maybe the first time.
Yeah, Rebel is just, it's a rebel. Like, hey, I'm going to kill a kid.
Well, you would think that the people at Pirates World or the director Barry Mann would have, after, you know, the third kid was viciously mauled, would maybe replace him or shoot the dog.
Why would you say that, first of all? None of them were viciously. They were gently
mauled. Gentle maulings, okay.
Yes.
Gently as you'd kick the sand on the beach looking for a valuable wallet.
That wasn't happening simultaneously? Well, is that what you're implying?
No, I think you probably took to that life after a childhood that was marred by black marks of tragedy.
Look, it wasn't the favorite part of my childhood, but the fact that out of it came Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
It's going to be hard for me to watch the movie again. Can we go back to Mary Techmas, the Santathon conundrum?
Just as the
theme of the podcast is your books.
Sure.
Could you walk us through just sort of what's happening in this? Is this Santa is a spy? He's got, obviously there's some sort of conundrum, and he's going to solve it with a variety of techie gadgets, I'm guessing.
Santa goes to other planets where there are like plaz tubes, and there are
there are flying cars, robots.
What? No.
Oh.
Sorry. Oh no, there are horse-drawn carriages. I don't know where you're getting this.
Okay, I just thought that the plaz tubes might be a.
Huh.
Sorry.
How do those work together?
I should not make assumptions about books I have not read.
Yeah, don't complete my sentences.
Please
when I'm
continue.
Married.
Please continue.
Yes.
No.
I mean,
like you said, my marriage is
a sham.
Well,
a lie.
Yeah. Well, that was before the Ice Cream Bunny.
Right. Okay. Mary Techmas, the Santathon conundrum.
Is the title.
Is that what you're asking about?
About a minute ago.
I'm sorry. There was a dog ran through the room.
Oh, that was.
I'm delighted by dogs.
Delighted, of course. Yeah. Just, yeah. Please continue.
Yes, of course. Chapter 1. Mary Techmas. The Santathon Conundrum.
Sounded a little like text there. A dog
sorry.
Again?
Another dog. Yes. Another dog ran through the room.
Coming in off
did
the street?
Did I say text?
Yeah, it sounded like it, but that could just be my projection.
That's you. That's you. Sure. That's all on you. No, he's got a gadget. It's Santa.
Hmm.
It's not the real Santa. The real Santa starred in Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Got it.
This is a Santa with a suit on.
Hmm.
And he takes out a high-tech item and he says, "Oh, son of a bitch. Looks like it's going to be a merry beep, beep, beep Christmas." and then the action begins.
Huh.
Kaboom. Stuff happens.
Well, I mean, is that like the back of the cover text?
No, that's the first chapter.
Oh, it's kaboom.
Turn the page
happens.
And then it's chapter 2. And then chapter 2 is like Santa. Then he turned around. And behind him was a guy with a thing, and he was like, beep, beep, beep.
Uh-huh.
And then he pulled out a tech thing, and he's like, "This is one beep conundrum."
Okay. What age group are you going for with these? Because you didn't bleep son of a bitch, but you're bleeping some other words that I heard. Okay. Young children. Got it.
Yeah, like Santa's, appeals to the young, and so this is for young children.
So he's like a quipping, butt-kicking secret agent guy.
Oh, my God.
Ladies love him, and men want to be him.
Kaboom. Santa. Boom.
What does Mrs. Claus think of this?
Mrs. Claus?
Yeah.
Santa's wife.
Well, the real Mrs. Claus does not know about this. I have not told her.
Oh.
I keep in touch with the actual clauses, but this is my fictional thing.
No, in your books. What does...
Oh, in the books, of course he does not have a wife.
Ah.
No, he's just like, oh, boom. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
The Santa, like, hoo, ow.
Those utterances, they seem like they would really, like, fly off the page with, like...
Chow.
Yeah, he's clapping his hands, he's saying, he's grunting.
Hello, Santa. Whoa! Just like that.
I guess he goes around, he saves the world, he shoots guys in the face. I mean, it sounds like those would fly off, the airport bookshelves. He'd be the next.
He shoots guys in the face when they deserve to be shot in the face.
Exactly, yeah, that just
and
wasn't.
Other times, he accidentally shoots guys in the face. But I take care of that with clever writing. I cover it up.
I think it's been clear that clever writing is your forte based on these past few excerpts.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It seems like the random killing, though, that might slightly be informed by your experience on the set of the movie with your brothers. I'm not to be a psychologist or anything.
Huh. I never thought of that.
Huh. Okay. Let's
do you never met my brothers, right?
No, they were it sounds to me, well, I guess gently mauled to death before I was born.
Very gently. Very gently. Yeah. Yes.
It sounds like an adorable way to go.
Yeah, I don't know if that was adorable, but yeah, I appreciate the sentiment. Thank
sure.
You.
Let's take one more look at one of your titles, Ice Station Blitzen.
Yes.
So named after one of his reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah. How'd he pick Blitzen as his secret hideout, I guess?
Well, you know the famous movie. I'm sure you've watched it over and over again, like Howard Hughes, Ice Station Zebra.
Not familiar.
Did you have not preserved your urine in jars and grown your fingernails out in your hair and sat there picking up things with tissues and locking yourself in a room and watching Ice Station Zebra?
No, I think as we covered before, I'm employed. I'm a member of society.
Those are not mutually exclusive, but okay, fine.
Sure. Ice Station Zero. Is that another Barry Mann movie?
No, it is not.
Condescending.
Was it? Ice Station Blitzen is my take on that, where Santa, instead of being at the North Pole where he lives, goes to the South Pole.
Oh, wow. You've turned the game on its head there.
Wow.
And literally.
And you turned Ice Station Zebra on its head, because that was set at the North Pole.
Exactly.
Wow.
Wow.
So hey. What Santa does is he uses his Santa magic. He actually flips the globe. So the South is the North and the North is the South. And what? So then Australia, their famous summers, which are in winter, mm-hmm. then their winters become summer. And then the judging the knives that they make is much more difficult. Is that a knife? I don't know. What season is it?
It sounds like, yeah, that would have colossal ramifications beyond just, you know, the obviously knife judging would be the first thing I'd have to be concerned about if the poles were flipped. But yeah, it seems like probably the oceans would probably have different jet streams, and that would probably wipe out a decent amount of sea life.
Weirdly, the ocean jet streams stay the same. The only thing that changes is the knife judging in Australia. Huh. It's a very complicated novel because I have to illustrate all of that in
world building.
A book.
Right.
And my world building is to say, like, many, many chapters are devoted to the world flipped upside down. However, everything remains largely the same except for Australia, where knife judging. And there's a few kangaroos who jump backwards. But it's otherwise, so to say that is so difficult in novel form.
It sounds difficult, to say it in a podcast. So it seems like that would be a very, it would require a lot of world building, I would say.
I feel like I rattled it off pretty clearly. I don't feel like anybody's confused. Look, can we take the first caller? First caller, come in.
We don't have callers.
Oh,
I want to ask
sorry,
why Santa decided to do that. Was he? Did he need to like make a hasty exit from the North Pole, or was there something about the South Pole that he wanted to do there that he couldn't do north? Like, why relocate?
Well, there was some badass guys coming at him.
Oh,
and he was like, "Your face hasn't been shot yet, so I'm turning the world upside down." Uh-huh. And then he like got out of an igloo, and he went boom, 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 and he shot them in the face.
And then flipped the Earth's poles, causing...
Well, look, I'm not going to give away everything.
Sure, exactly.
Not in that order.
You've got to read the book to find out what's going on. Yeah. That one sounds fascinating. I admit I was skeptical at the beginning when I saw some of these titles. They seemed a little, just like airport beach read kind of things. But that sounds philosophical. Well, didn't mean it as a compliment, but philosophical implications and weird Australian culture shattering things happening. So I'm going to put that on my list.
It's huge. It's huge stuff. I mean, when your thighs and your kneecaps are as big as mine, your books have to be as big and bulbous. As your thighs and kneecaps. I believe that was a rule. I believe that Kurt Vonnegut said that.
Oh, yeah, probably. He was probably talking about Michener, maybe. Like, he must have had some big legs.
Who's that?
James Michener.
Oh, did he? I see him on the beach sometimes. We both kick up the same wallet and we fight over them.
how big of a punch does he pack? Is he a strong guy? I imagine he has to be getting up there.
He does not have the kind of thighs, and my feet are literally twice as big as his.
Well, Is there anything else that we need to talk about, Bob? Any questions?
Well, I'm loath to even bring this up, but I did notice when I was actually, when we were together, when I was measuring your calves and lower extremities.
Yeah. One of the favorite times in my life.
You did share with me.
And you've had a joyous life, it sounds like.
I really have. Yeah.
You shared with me that you also write books featuring the Ice Cream Bunny, but those you write under a pen name. Should I have brought that up? I don't know if pen name is protecting your identity or.
No, it's fine. It's those are just a little. They're different. They're a little different. It's that's under my pseudonym, and it's fine to look it up. You can go on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you get some cotton balls, maybe throw one of these books in your, you get the like 12 pack of toilet paper, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cuss Cliveler series.
Oh.
And these are a little more, look, I don't want my mother, God rest her soul, to know about this. But
dare I ask how she went?
She was killed by a rebel. It was oddly, it was 10 years before. So
the dog had killed members of your family, and then did he show up on the set, and you were like, that can't be the same dog that killed my mother.
We did. We were skeptical. We thought, give him another chance. The fact that my 5-year-old brother was killed, I don't know how that works out. I don't know the math. I was too young to know.
Okay. Well, we will not alert her about these books, but why is there something in them that would be offensive to her or?
Well, it's just that they're sexually frank. It's the Ice Cream Bunny as you've never wanted to see the Ice Cream Bunny, but I think you want to see the Ice Cream Bunny, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's the protagonist in this one that the ladies can't get enough of?
I mean, think of if Santa is James Bond, think of this guy as like James Bond, only he's having sex with everyone that moves.
These seemed more like Dolomite than James Bond, from what little I gather.
Yeah, there would be a little Waka Chicka Waka Chicka if they were made into a movie. I'm not going to lie to you.
And these are with with people or other bunnies or little from column A, little from column B.
Bunnies, people, cars,
rebel,
toasters.
Yeah.
Rebel, who I killed Rebel and wrung his neck, but the corpse of Rebel. I mean, this is dark.
In the book?
No, I did in real life, but
you
then
just
in the
slipped
book.
That in there? Oh my gosh, we should have been. You should write an autobiography at one of these points.
I actually just slid that in there as one of the books of Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny. I'm not proud of it, but it's bad. It's bad stuff.
Toasters is another one that I think, I mean, we probably could have examined that topic this entire time we've been talking.
Oh, well, let's do that another time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Which book does that take place in, the toaster sex?
Oh, it's To Love a Rabbit, He That Chortles.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so To Love a Rabbit, you must have a functioning toaster in your house, I guess is maybe the lesson of that one. I guess. We'll have to read it to see everybody.
Please, you can get them. They're not available on Amazon. They're available on the dark web.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I think our listeners are very familiar. Is that because were they taken off of Amazon because people were confused by your pseudonym?
I was never allowed on Amazon. I don't know why.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, as soon as I would put it up, it was like immediately taken down.
That's because they allow a lot of garbage up there. So that's, yeah,
right.
You must have.
And there was like a yellow police strip came across my computer, which like physically, I don't know how that worked.
These have got to be pretty strong.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they have that guy who writes all the dinosaur porn.
Chuck Tingle.
Yeah.
Chuck
Tingle. He's at me at the dog shows. He's next to me.
Nice guy.
Love, salt of the earth.
Wow.
Absolute.
I would have guessed that the guy who wrote, a dinosaur got my mom pregnant would have been a nice guy.
He's an absolute angel. You'd love him. Do you want me to introduce you? Let's do a podcast together.
Absolutely. We will do that maybe the next time, but I think we have enough material for this. Thank you so much for joining us, Beauregard. This has been very informative about one of my favorite movies.
It's been a delight to me. And then part two of this starts when? When are we going to schedule that? Should I just do that with your secretary?
Yeah, put it in. Put in a call to her, and and we will. Just get that after the holidays. We'll see how this one goes over.
Okay. Your secretary, I thought, was a dog, but I didn't. But it's a girl? Should I?
Oh, no, it's a dog. It's a bitch.
Okay. All right. Well, I will do that.
Yeah.
And then part three, we'll just do this weekly.
I mean, there's absolutely no reason to schedule part three before part two. So I think, you know, we just one at a time.
I'm just looking ahead at my schedule.
Is it very open?
Pull yours up.
I got it. Yeah, it's up.
Okay. Yeah, wallet so, kicking.
Yep.
Do you have that tomorrow?
Well, no. I'm going to be probably shopping for Christmas dinner.
I have that wallet kicking for the next 5 days.
And you're going to be kicking wallets on Christmas Day?
What's Christmas now?
Okay, now, well, it's...
All right, well, we'll schedule. We'll schedule.
Yes, sounds good. Thank you so much, Beauregard. Thank you, Bob, for the bulbous-thighed artwork, as always.
My pleasure.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Thanks again for listening to Meet the Authors.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays. That one is gonna, there's gonna be a lot of